follow the order of service on page 15 in the front of your hymnal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Only kneel for confession. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I'll confess my transgressions unto the Lord. With which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray for thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death, my beloved Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me. A poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I by virtue of my office have been called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. All may stand for the intro.
Well, in the land and in the world. Grant, merciful Lord, to your faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins and serve you with a quiet mind. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost are found in your bulletin insert. The Old Testament from Isaiah chapter 35, reading from the fourth verse. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. Here ends the Old Testament. The epistle reading is found in James, the first chapter, reading from the 17th verse. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it, what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Holy Gospel found in the Evangelist of St. Mark, the 7th chapter, reading from the 31st verse. Then Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre and went through Sidon down to the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. There some people brought to him a man who was deaf and could hardly talk. They begged him to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside, away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers into the man's ears. Then he spit and touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephrathah, which means be open. At this, the man's ears were opened. His tongue was loosed and began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone, but the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Here ends the gospel.
Oh.
now confess our faith using the Nicene Creed found on page 22 in the front of your hymnal.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance. Father, I do all things for me, who for us men and for ourselves came down from heaven, and was crowned by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and returned once again, the Lord is the Scripture. And ascended into heaven, and visited the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again to glory, to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiping and glorified. To say by the prophets, and I believe one holy Christian and soft church. I acknowledge one baptism for which sins, and I put the resurrection of death and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The text is Mark 7, 31 to 37. The introit tells us it's good to praise the Lord and to make music to your name. In 1972, the Doobie Brothers admonished us to listen to the music. Well, I don't want rock and roll in church. I can't help but hear it when I'm listening to the music made in Jesus' name by this text. I start out hearing Jesus is just all right. That was written in 65, and at that time, all right was something very cool, a good, positive comment. But by the time the Doobie Brothers recorded it in the 70s, that's not how I heard it. I thought they were singing Jesus was just meh to them. That's the attitude I find towards Jesus expressed by the people of the Decapolis. They carry to Jesus a man who is incommunicado. He is deaf and anywhere from unable to speak to tongue-tied by a speech impediment. And the people of this non-Jewish league of 10 cities beg Jesus to place his hand on him. The Decapolis was formed about 100 years before when the Romans invaded the land. It was an alliance of 10 cities formed for a common trade interest. History knows all about this place. But what's more important is that this place knew a lot about Jesus. Two chapters earlier, we read, and he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis what great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. Well, who's that he? Well, that's the healed Gerasene demoniac, the guy with the legion of demons in him, who lived among the tombs and had superhuman strength like Hulk, so that even chains couldn't hold him. The guy Jesus cast about 2,000 demons from and sent into pigs who were driven by the demons down the hill and drowned themselves. That's who the he is. In that account, the healed man begged, same Greek word used here, Jesus to take him along. But the people of the Decapolis begged, same word, Jesus to leave their region. Jesus does go, but he leaves that healed demoniac behind as a witness to all the Decapolis. They know all about Jesus' power, particularly the power of his word. He had freed that demoniac by just words. Here, however, they carry this guy to Jesus and ask for Jesus to place his hand on him. They, who had wanted Jesus to leave this area, but now that he's back, they know that he has some sort of power and has compassion for people who no one else can help. As they begged him to leave, now they beg him to help. Jesus is just all right with them and with me too. I want Jesus around sometimes, don't you? But sometimes I don't. He's all right if he's answering my prayer the way I want him to, protecting my life the way I want him to, and doing more or less what I expect him to do. But when he doesn't do what I want or expect, well, that's not all right. Yes, I expect that on the last day, Jesus is going to say, well done to me for having finished my course in the faith. But all I can manage now in the face of political, societal, and medical upheavals is to tell Jesus, you're all right. But then I hear another song coming from our text. Jesus Christ Superstar. I hear the swelling grandeur. I see Jesus at last appearing to the crowd as he really is. He does everything beautifully. He does the impossible of making the deaf hear and the mute speak. I remember seeing a live performance of Jesus Christ Superstar, and it came close to making me what at that time was called a Jesus freak. Today it'd be called the emergent church or certain flavors of non-denominationalism or charismatic. All of these have Jesus Christ Superstar as their theme song. Jesus' power and glory are front and center to them. Contrast that with Graham Greene's 1940 novel, The Power and the Glory. The novel is set in 1920s Mexico during the persecution of Catholicism. A priest is traveling around the countryside with his communion kit. He's revered by the peasants for having the Almighty God, who is much more than just all right, for having the Almighty God in that box. Really? It looks like nothing more than bread and wine and not at all like Jesus Christ Superstar. And it's the Superstar Jesus who is for me and for the people of the Decapolis, evidently. Jesus had specifically charged the healed demoniac earlier to tell what the Lord did for him and how he had mercied him. Look what the people blown away by Jesus Christ Superstar told. They are commanded not to tell anyone, but they tell everyone. And it's not comical that the more Jesus commanded them not to, the more they kept talking about it. It's not funny when the more you tell your child not to do something, the more they do it. You don't laugh, do you? Neither does Jesus. And note, they don't mention the Lord or his mercy, just what Jesus did. Easter is always a bigger Sunday than the first Sunday in Lent. Oh, and Ash Wednesday, well, that might be a big day. But 40 days of focusing on Jesus of the cross and why he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, well, that's a little much. People will listen even today how Jesus opened the mouths of the mute and the ears of the deaf. But they do not want to hear or speak of how in our sins and sinfulness, we are blind, dead enemies of God. We don't want to hear the truth about our sins or speak the truth about what it took to redeem us, lost and condemned creatures. God the Son taking on our flesh and blood to do Jesus Christ Superstar things, well, that's cool. But him taking on our flesh and blood so that he might take our place under God's laws and suffer, sigh, bleed, and die because we break those laws, well, that's just too much of a downer. What with all the bad news going on today? So I start hearing, Jesus is just all right with me. And I get swept up in Jesus Christ Superstar. But then I finally get to Petula Clark, a sign of the times. At seminary, the professor in charge of ministry to the deaf, he preached on this text in chapel, and I still remember it. Actually, not so much what he said, but how he demonstrated Jesus' actions to this man who could not hear who he was and what he was going to do. That's right, by means of signs, Jesus conveyed to this man his person and work. Jesus takes the man away from the crowd. He puts his fingers in both ears. Then Jesus spits and he touches his tongue, or spits and touches the man's tongue with his spit. Commentators go both ways. Grammar tells us it's not important. Spitting is participle. Touch, that's the main verb. Looking up into heaven is also a participle. The sigh, the groan, that's the main verb here. Stenazo is what Paul says in Romans 8, we do while waiting for our adoption as sons to go through. In 1 Corinthians 5, stenazo is what we do in this old tent as we are waiting for it to be torn down and our mortal coil to be swallowed by immortality. And stenazo is what Hebrews 13 says you don't want your pastor to do as he gives an account of your soul. But you do want to hear Jesus stenazo for you as he did for this deaf and dumb man. However, it's bigger than Jesus, isn't it? Jesus gives a sign of the times to this man who cannot be instructed with words. Jesus gives a sign that all of heaven in his person groans with him over his infirmities. The professor that did the sermon thought Jesus had pulled the man in close. So though he couldn't have heard him groan, he could have felt it. I've told you of sitting on the lap of my first grade teacher in Lutheran school. When the PA announced that President Kennedy had been assassinated, I didn't understand that. But I did understand that my teacher's body heaved. And then I looked at her face. I saw a tear run down her cheek. And this man, after Jesus touched his ears and tongues, after he spit and looked to heaven, he could know by that felt groan that God in heaven, through the man Jesus, groaned with him. Think that's too much? Hear 4th century church father Ephrem the Syrian. The power which may not be handled came down and clothed itself in members that may be touched, that the needy may draw near to him, that in touching his manhood they may discern his Godhead. For the dumb man whom the Lord healed discerned that he touched the Godhead that may not be touched. We're not to wonder what the invisible God thinks about what's going on in our world today. We don't want to stare at that light unapproachable and draw conclusions from the blinding glare. We don't want to seek our warmth and comfort from the God who is a consuming fire as if he were a campfire or a hearth. Since no man has seen God at any time, we turn to the only begotten God in the lap of the Father who explains him, who puts the language of divinity into the words of humanity, who opens our human ears to hear divine things. You want signs for these times? The man Jesus gives you them. He says he has compassion for sheep without shepherds. He says, when you're perplexed by what the invisible God is or isn't doing in this fallen world, you can look to him. Hear him weeping over those who rejected him. Hear that he is unwilling to snuff even a smoldering faith. Hear that he doesn't lift his voice in the street. Hear that he opens ears to hear the impossible thing. In our text, the fingers in the ears, on the tongue, the spitting, the looking to heaven, and even the groaning, they're not the miracle. The word Ephrathah, be open, that's the miracle. That's Aramaic. That was the man's own language. He hears it. That's impossible, you know. He's deaf. But just as Lazarus, dead to the world, hears Jesus bellow, Lazarus, come forth. So the deaf man hears the word of Jesus because it has the power to do what it says. And you hear the words of Jesus too. You come in here burdened with sin and sinfulness, staggering under loads too big to carry or even know. And Jesus speaks forgiveness, and your sins are sent away before God in heaven by a word spoken here on earth. You come in here sweaty and grimy with life in a fallen world, and the water and blood that flowed from Jesus' side 2,000 years ago is there in that baptismal font for sinners to plunge into and lose all their guilty stains. And talk about words doing the impossible. Jesus brings heaven to earth in his body and blood in communion. Hear all that Jesus did for sinners when he walked the earth, he does for you. In this meal, he groans for you, he heals you, he forgives you, he saves you. No wonder we sing before, during, and after this meal. Listen to that music. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. People remembering in our special prayers today are listed there in your bulletin. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authorities. Bestow on them grace to rule after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing lawbreakers, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy. And although we have deserved thy righteous wrath and many punishments, still we entreat thee to remember not the sins of our earlier days, nor our many wrongdoings, but out of thy unspeakable love, mercy, and grace, defend us from all harm and danger, body and soul. Preserve us from false and wicked doctrine, from war, from disease, from disaster, by fire, water, hail, or wind, from failure of harvest, famine, anguish of heart, and an evil death. And in every time of trouble, please show thyself to be a very present helper. Lord, in thy mercy. Because thy mercies are new every morning in the person and work of Christ, so do bring a song of praise and thanks from our hearts today and every day. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. I direct your attention to the community statement and bulletin. We welcome all members to our celebration of Holy Communion this morning because of the sad divisions that exist in Christianity today. We can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Trinity practice is close communion, which means you commune after members of Trinity. And those guests have been invited to commune prior to the service. If you are guests or not supposed to commune before, please not come forward and receive communion. We continue now with the communion liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your heart. Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death in the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, which was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Amen. grace our Jesus Christ is with you and also with you. Take heed to the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unto death, wrought your sin. Take heed to the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unto death, wrought your sin. Take heed to the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unto death, wrought your sin.
Take drink.
This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. And drink the blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen, preserving in the true faith, life everlasting, heart in peace. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the remission. Body and this blood strengthen, preserve you, which you faith, life everlasting.
take, drink. This is the true blood,
the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. This is the true blood, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sins. Take, drink. The blood of Christ, shed for your sins.
May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting, in heart, in deed.
Amen.
Send thine only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Thank you.
speaker in our series today, and I want to check something. All right, Kristen, you mean choir practice right after service? Pardon? Oh, okay, good. So we will go to the auditorium, and we'll eat first, and then we'll have our speaker. And even if you didn't sign up to come, we only needed you to sign up for the food. If you didn't sign up and you want to come and listen, you're welcome to. Junior confirmation starts tomorrow at 5:30. Voters assembly Tuesday at 7 p.m. It's the last Sunday today to sign up for beer, brats, and bribes next Saturday at 3 p.m. Thank you.